My message this morning is entitled, Don't Give Up. So let's say that together. Don't give up. A few years ago, I read a research book written by Jeff Colvin, who is a longtime senior editor at Fortune Magazine. And his book is titled, Talent is Overrated. Talent is Overrated. And it addresses the myth that says to make it in life, you have to be born with talent. And from history and from current brain studies, Colvin debunks the idea that some people are just lucky genetically and that's why they excel. And I was very intrigued by the book, and I found it interesting because the brain research that he cited in the book was done with musicians and basketball players and writers and ice skaters and chess players and football players and communicators and business owners and leaders in every strata of society. And the results of all of his research and work prove that hard work and persistence or perseverance is the key to excelling. And so here's one of the statements that he made. He said, a person's life potential is developed through persistent effort. A person's life potential is developed through persistent effort. And he demonstrates how it takes persistent practice or repetition for the brain to achieve mastery of a skill. And one of the stories that he shares in his book, it was about New York City cab drivers back in the days before GPS, you know, that we all depend on now. We don't even know the street names. We just follow the GPS. You know, I tried to do that this morning, but all the detours, it was a very scenic drive. It took us down this road through I have no idea. I had no idea where I was, and for a moment, the GPS didn't know where I was. He talks in here about how it takes 2 to 3 years, and this is, like I said, going back before GPS, that it took 2 to 3 years for a New York City cab driver to develop a brain map of all the streets in New York City so that you could jump in a cab and you could tell the cabbie where you wanted to go and they would go, oh, okay, and they would know the route and know how to get you there. And I thought, you know, that's actually amazing that even in 2 to 3 years you could learn a map of New York City and have it stored in your brain. So just think about what it takes to master a new skill. One of our grandsons is quite an accomplished musician playing piano. And so he was, some years back, he was performing at an event. And after he had finished playing, a person came up to him and said, I'd give anything to be able to play the piano the way you do. And so our grandson went on to tell her about his practice regimen and what he was doing each day and how, you know, just the habits, you know, that he had developed in order to learn, you know, how to use that gift, develop that gift. And when he was done explaining all of that, she said, well, I'm not going to do that. And so when she said, I'd give anything to play the piano the way you play it, I think what she meant was that if, while I'm sleeping tonight, if this could be downloaded into my brain and fingers, and I wake up in the morning and I could just sit down and start playing like that, that would be great. Or if I could just write out a check and buy, you know, the ability to do that, that would be great. But she didn't really mean I'd give anything to be able to do that because she wasn't really willing to give what needed to be given to do that. So think about any life skill. Think about mastering a new language, or even thinking about, you know, learning new words. I read every day, and I'm constantly coming across words I don't know. And because I'm usually doing my reading with the iPad, it's very easy, you know, to just put your finger there and then the definition drops down and I'm going, oh, that's what that word means. Okay, that's how it's used in a sentence. And that's good because learning is a part of the whole journey through life, isn't it? It should be anyway. So how does all of this relate to what I want to talk about this morning? You're trying to figure that out, right? You know, where's Pastor John going with all of this? So I want to talk about prayer, and you may wonder, how does all of this relate to prayer? Is prayer meant to be just a casual, off-the-cuff, or a last recourse aspect of life? You know, I guess all we can do is pray now. There's nothing left to do. You know, and you probably heard those words coming out of your own mouth at times. So is that what prayer is, or is prayer a spiritual habit to be cultivated, developed, and practiced as life's first step? Say first step with me. First step, as life's first step in every aspect of living. Is prayer meant to be a language of faith that we keep learning and growing in all through our lives? I believe so. For example, should we pray about who we marry the night before our wedding day? What do you think? You know, when we're nervous the night before, is that when we start praying about this? Or do you start praying about it as the first step of thinking about, I want to be married? We started praying for our children's spouses when our children were still children, because we knew that next to the choice to serve Jesus, the most important life choice after that was who they would marry. So our story today is about persistent prayer. It's about perseverance when it comes to praying through and taking hold of God's answers for our lives. And the story is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And you're familiar with this story, I'm sure. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When I read this story, I find myself thinking about how the character trait of perseverance is so important to every victory that we experience in life. So let me take you back to the Old Testament. Do you remember the story in Numbers 11 where God's people wanted to quit and go back to Egypt? Remember that story? You know, they were telling themselves it was better in Egypt. And they were complaining about the leader that God had given them. They were complaining about God. They were complaining about food. They fell into complaining so easily. Whenever they faced a difficulty, the first thing they did was to start complaining, and God kept correcting them. So what was God trying to teach them? I believe one of the things God was trying to grow in them was a persevering spirit, because God knew they would not be ready for the challenges that they would face in the future that he had planned for them unless they learned to overcome complaining and persevere in faith. So I wonder, is that your need today? So you can take hold of the future that God desires for you. Do you need to overcome complaining? And if so, this could be a turnaround moment for you, right here, right now, as you confess and tell Jesus, Jesus, I need to overcome complaining. So to help all of us, we're just going to say it together, all right, out loud. Would you do that with me? Jesus, I need to overcome complaining. Say it with me again. Jesus, I need to overcome complaining. Isn't that a great prayer to pray? How many of you believe Jesus wants to help you to do that? He does. He really does. 1 Corinthians 10, jumping forward to the New Testament, gives us a whole list of warnings based on Israel's history that we just talked about from Numbers. And in verse 11, it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. And the warning is this, church. They failed to persevere, and as a result, they failed to receive the promise, and they forfeited their future to grumbling, whining, and complaining. And that was sad, because that wasn't God's will for them. But they forfeited their future to grumbling, whining, and complaining. So think about how all this relates to prayer and to the story that Jesus told to illustrate perseverance in prayer. And I read that story, and then I read the story of Israel, and I wonder, what have I forfeited because I complained instead of praying? Because sometimes the first habit is to complain instead of the first habit being to pray. So what about you? This story is for all of us, isn't it? None of us are left out in this story. And Jesus illustrates that with this parable about a persistent widow. And Jesus tells us what the parable means. So this isn't like some of his other parables where the disciples are asking, what did you mean by that story that you told? This one, Jesus tells us what it means. In verse 1, he said, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. Say that with me. Always pray and not give up. So we don't have to ask what the story is about. Jesus tells us. It's about praying and not giving up. It's about persisting. It's about perseverance. It's about determination. The parable has one point. Don't give up. The parable is not about the nature of God. Jesus is not saying that God's like this unrighteous secular judge who this widow had to pest and keep bugging him in order to get justice. Jesus is making a comparison, and he's saying, you know, if an unrighteous judge will do what is right when a woman like this perseveres in pursuing him, well, then how much more will your request be heard by your Father in heaven when you persevere in seeking him, because your Father in heaven loves you and he cares about you supremely, and he will do what is right by you when you cry out to him. So the widow in this story was persistent. There was no quit in her. So what about me? What about you? What would it look like for you to have a holy desperation that pursues the promises of God for your life? What would it look like for you to have a holy desperation that pursues the promises of God for your church? Or do you find it easy to quit when the going gets tough? Think about another story with me in Luke 5. Remember the four men who carried their paralytic friend to Jesus, only to discover they couldn't get into the house because of the crowd? So did they quit and go home? Did they take the attitude, well, you know, we had a good idea here to get our friend to Jesus. It was a pretty good idea, but you know what? It can't be done. We can't get through that crowd. No, they didn't take that attitude. They looked for another way. They persisted. And you know the story. They cut a hole in the roof and they lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. You see, they kept on asking this question in their minds. How else can we do this? How else can we get our friend to Jesus? They were not giving up. And I know that sometimes in our personal lives and sometimes in the church, we resist the things that God wants to do. We say, why do that? And we don't want to pay the price to persevere, to see it through, receive God's answer. But what if you and I had this attitude? Why not? If this is for the kingdom of God, if this is for God's glory, why not? Why not pursue God's plans for our future? Why not go after His promises for us? Why not believe for and pray for and ask for and seek for and persevere in that which advances His kingdom in our personal lives and also in His church? Why not? So say that with me. Why not? Why not? Do you know that's the heart of God toward you? You know, when I'm talking about having a persevering spirit, whether it's in prayer or in anything that God has asked you to do, I'm not talking about you working something up inside of you. I'm talking about you opening your heart to receive something from the Father that you need, because God has a persevering spirit. If He did, we wouldn't be here this morning, right? Because He pursued us with His love. Perseverance is a part of God's nature. So when I need it, He's the one I turn to and I say, Father, my flesh wants to quit. But I know that's not your will for me. You're a God who perseveres. I need your persevering spirit in my life. Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that the Spirit of God who lives in us intercedes for us according to God's will. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is praying hard for you and for me. The Holy Spirit is praying hard for this church and for God's desired future for this church. And long before we got up this morning, God's Spirit was praying for God's will for your life and for this service. Do you believe that? So what would happen if you joined your voice in agreement with God's will for your life? What would happen if your attitude was, why not? I'm pursuing God's desires for me. I'm giving myself to God so that His will can be done in my life. I'm going to overcome the obstacles that are in the road to God's future for me. We're going to overcome together the obstacles that are in the road of God's future for Kiske Valley Community Church. You remember the story in James 5, 16 to 18 of Elijah who persevered in praying for rain. And you remember six times he sent his servant to look and there were no visible results. And, you know, that's often where we get very strongly tempted to give up, right? We don't see what we want to see as quick as we want to see it, so we're ready to quit. Because we put God on our timetable instead of putting ourselves on God's timetable. But Elijah kept praying. And he kept praying because he knew that God had promised rain. He did not allow circumstances to deter him. He won the battle in persistent prayer. So let me ask, have you allowed your circumstances to get between you and God? Or by faith are you putting God between you and your circumstances? So what if Elijah had quit instead of persevering? So easy to give up on dreams, to give up on God, to give up on miracles. And you know, we as humans, we get impatient. Right? We lose heart. We lose faith. Then we lose hope. And then we just end up going through religious rituals instead of crying out to God. So let me ask you some questions this morning. Is there some dream that God wants to resurrect in your heart? Is there some dream that God wants to resurrect in your heart? Is there some promise that you need to take hold of once again today? You say, God, I let go of that, but I'm taking hold of that again. Is there some miracle that you need to start pursuing in prayer? Is there a mission that God has for Kiske Valley Community Church that you need to be in agreement with your brothers and sisters in chasing after? Mark Batterson makes this observation. He says, the reason that many of us give up too soon is because we feel like we have failed if God doesn't answer our prayer. And then he says, that isn't failure. And then he makes this statement. The only way you can fail is to stop praying. The only way you can fail is to stop praying. So the only way I can fail is to stop praying. Let's say that out loud. The only way I can fail is to stop praying. Say that with me again. The only way I can fail is to stop praying. So I want to encourage you to not give up, to persevere, to develop a godly determination. And you may say, but Pastor John, I don't know how to pray about whatever it may be anymore. I've just prayed and prayed and every way I know how, and I just don't know how to pray about whatever that is. I don't know how to pray about it anymore. And I'm not suggesting that you make up some prayer formula. I'm not suggesting that you just start arbitrarily telling God what your future should look like based on your desires. I'm not talking about making something up as a test case for God, like, well, God, if you really love me, here's what you will do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about starting to read and pray God's Word. Open your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Bible. Read the Psalms and start praying what you are reading. You may even feel led to highlight some scripture that speaks to you about your life or about your church or what you believe God's asking you to do. So make the Bible your prayer book. Do you remember how the first century church did this when they were accused and threatened? You read it in Acts chapter 4. They came back and they prayed after they were accused and threatened. And in verse 25, they're praying. They said, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? And notice how they describe the motivation behind praying God's word back to him. That the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Somebody in their group remembered this passage from Psalm 2, which fit their scenario perfectly, and began to pray it. Quoting the Bible back to God infuses power in our prayers. Let me say that again. Quoting the Bible back to God infuses power in our prayers. By turning to his promises for our particular needs, we glorify him in his word. Some years ago, I spent over a year of my life constantly praying through Psalm 31. And Psalm 31 is all marked up in my Bible because I spent so much time praying through that psalm. It was a very difficult and painful time in my life. And I needed to hold on to God and his promises because I wanted to quit. And most of you have been there at times where you wanted to quit. And Psalm 31 became an anchor for me. It became scriptures that I prayed as I cried out to God in my own pain and my own heartache, because quitting was so tempting. So it became my prayer book. Psalm 31 became my prayer book for that part of my journey. So I encourage you, start a prayer journal. Log what you're praying about with the dates that you started praying. And then write in what God's answers or what you believe God is speaking into your life as you're praying. And when the devil fights against you, resist him with God's word and also with the testimony of God's goodness in your life. Notice the hard question that Jesus asked at the end of this parable. In verse 8, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I like the way the Message words that. How much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? How much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? And I wonder, how will you answer that question in your life? So remember our story this morning, the persistent widow. Remember your loving Heavenly Father who has goodness stored up for you. That's in Psalm 31:19. That was a promise that I held on to. The painful times will pass and there are good times ahead. Remember that the only way you can fail is to stop praying. And where do we get help in order to persevere? From our Heavenly Father, who, that's part of His nature. So you cry out and you say, Holy Spirit, put the no-quit Spirit of God in me. Amen? Holy Spirit, put the no-quit Spirit of God in me. And maybe that's your need this morning, because you may feel like you're worn out and it's easier to quit. And you are worn out in yourself, but the Holy Spirit is offering you something, the no-quit Spirit, the persevering Spirit of God that you need in order to keep going. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Would you do that, church? Some of you have things in your life you've been praying about for a long time, right? Right? How many of you have some things like that? Say, Pastor John, I got some things I've been praying about for a long time. My wife and I have this whole list of over 25 people who we want to see come to Jesus that we've been praying about for a long time, many, many years. And we keep on praying. You know why? Because we know this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know that? So when we speak each of those names before our Father, we know we're praying according to God's will. He doesn't want them to perish. They may be on the path of destruction, but God wants them on a different path. And so we keep praying because we know what God's will is. And some of you have people like that in your life. Some of you have been praying a long time for this community and for lost people that you know, neighbors or friends, to come to know Jesus. Or maybe you're praying for a parent or for a son or a daughter or a grandchild or, you know, for a friend of yours. Or maybe you're praying about a financial need or a health issue. Or maybe you're praying about depression or anxiety or fear. Scriptures are filled with promise after promise of how God wants to help us in every one of those situations if we will call upon His name. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you, if you have some things you've been praying about for a long time and you need to persevere, I just want to ask you to come and stand across the front here this morning. So will you do that? Come on, step out. I just want to speak blessing into your life today. I want to speak encouragement into your life today. I want to ask God to minister to you the grace that you need to not give up. So you need that this morning, saying, Pastor, I need a persevering spirit. You know, I tried to work this up in myself, and I'm worn out. I need something from God to help me. So come on, you come and join these folks here this morning. I have a person in my life I'm praying for, and sometimes I just despair. Will things ever change? Will they change? Will God's will ever get done in their lives, or maybe some situation? And I want to say to each of you who are standing here this morning that Jesus is saying to each of you, don't give up. Jesus is saying to each of you, don't give up. Don't give up. Why is he telling us that? Because he knows our frailness. He knows our humanity. He knows. He identifies with us. And you know, this morning we shared from the Lord's table. Remember even how Jesus cried out, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So he had to persevere, and he needed help from his Father in heaven. And if Jesus, the Son of God, needed help from his Father in heaven to not give up, there's no shame in any of us here this morning saying, Lord, I need help. I need help to not give up. Amen? I need help to not give up. So let's just begin to pray for one another, even up here this morning. Maybe you just want to move a little closer together and put a hand on somebody's shoulder. And we're just going to begin to pray for one another because we need the encouragement that only our Heavenly Father can give us. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I am praying, Lord, that you will put your no-quit spirit in them. Lord, as they begin to cry out to you, that you will impart to them, Lord, a persevering spirit, the faith to not give up, to continue, to persevere. Lord, as you always said, we should always pray and not give up. Lord, I pray that you will remind them of your promises. Whatever promise it is that your Holy Spirit quickened in their heart, that, Lord, they will hold fast to that. And your word will become a part of their praying, that they can declare, just as we declare, Lord, when we are praying for people who don't know you, Lord, we know that your will is that they be saved. And so, Lord, we cry out to you for them. And Lord, some of my brothers and sisters here are praying for people who don't know you. Some of them, Lord, are praying about difficult situations in their lives. Oh God, some of them are crying out to you because they're in pain or their heart is breaking over something. Oh Jesus, help them to hold on to you. Help them to cry out to you for help from heaven. For you're a God who perseveres. You persevere in loving us. You persevere in forgiving us. You persevere in changing us more and more into the image of Jesus. Oh, Lord, you persevere. You said that he has begun a good work in you. And he will continue it, Lord. That's not giving up, Lord. You don't give up on us. Oh, God, encourage the hearts of my brothers and sisters here this morning. I pray blessings over them today. I pray blessings over them. I pray blessings of peace. I pray blessings of faith. I pray blessings, oh God, of a persevering, no-quit spirit. God, I pray that your hand will rest upon each of them mightily. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, so just go down this row here this morning in the name of Jesus. Let there be a persevering spirit from the throne of God that is imparted to you. The no-quit spirit of Jesus. Let that be imparted to you today in the name of Jesus. Exactly what you need from the throne of heaven. Let it be yours today in the name of Jesus. Lord, come alongside of my brothers and sisters here today. Let them know that you are close to them. They are not forsaken, Lord. They are not forsaken. They belong to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, be their strength. Be their hope. Be their joy. We don't have to work these things up in ourselves, Lord. We cry out to you. You send from heaven what we need. You send from heaven what we need. Oh, God. Oh, mighty God, do that. Do that for my brother today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, send from heaven, Lord, a persevering, no-quit spirit. Oh, God, let our hearts be humble before you as we acknowledge our need, and even in our times of weakness, Lord. You are there to be our strength. You are there to help us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him. Would you do that, church? Let's just thank him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Your love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you that you are praying and interceding before the Father's throne on my behalf, on our behalf, on behalf of this church, Lord, on behalf of my brothers and sisters who are up here this morning. Oh, God, encourage them. Speak a word into their life. Speak a word into their life. Thank you, Lord.